So besides wisdom, you might have gotten a little bit of a theme for today from a few things that we've sung or said. This is a day which churches don't often like remark upon a whole bunch, but we celebrate it nonetheless, which is Holy Trinity Sunday. Excellent. Well known. It's a day in which we reflect on this way of thinking that has come to us through the ages, where we describe God as three in one, or the Trinity. You might have heard the words growing up, depending on your tradition, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You might have heard, in good UCC fashion of late, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. You might have heard, well, no, probably not, but nonetheless, that most of us will probably get into some heresy at some point today, one time or another, so don't be alarmed. This is really hard to understand. It is this tenet of our faith that P.S. is not really in the scriptures very much. You kind of have to read it out. Nobody ever goes, and then you're going to worship God as the Trinity, says Jesus. Never. It was a later addition to our faith, kind of read out and, you know, deeply sought out of our scriptures. Now, I am a good Trinitarian minister. Everything I do in threes. I wake up every morning and I brush my teeth three times. Every list I make has three items. Still, I recognize that this is not a part of our theology that a lot of people interact with or give a lot of prominence to in their lives. But I think it is actually important in some ways, and we'll get there. And it's very important to be reminded that the Trinity is one of many ways that our ancestors have wrestled with conceptions and visions of characteristics and the character of God. For reasons that I can only say are the best reasons in my job, I have found myself in a whole bunch of conversations recently about who God is and how God works. People are sometimes surprised that I don't, you know, have that written down on a 3x5 card that I can hand them. But it continues to be a wonderful and rich conversation in our lives. The beautiful part of those conversations is that, as I understand it, we can talk about God only as much as we can underline both the wonder and the mystery of God. Your experience of God may be vastly different than mine, and neither of us can ever manage to enclose what we might mean when we talk about God in language. So today we have another image of God. We have this reading from the book of Proverbs in the Hebrew Scriptures. And today we hear a creation story, but it is told by a new narrator for the Bible. And so we can ponder that together, who this speaker might be, and this new description, what this new description of God may bring to light. So listen for these words.
Okay, this is from Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 4. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. And from Proverbs 8, 22 to 31. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I, wisdom, was set up. At the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bit of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race.
Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, says Wisdom. Says the Lady Wisdom. I think maybe most of us aspire to be wise. I think Kyle had it right. We generally associate wisdom with good things. What that means for us probably varies. We heard that a little bit around the room. It varies as much as we vary in delights, in sorrows, in skills and abilities, weaknesses and fears. Yet we strive to be a people who know things, right? We have right here in this room some incredibly smart people. Some of them have graduated recently, so we know they're smart. You got to think about that in a community like ours, where a lot of people have spent sometimes up to a third of their lives learning things, and maybe a lot more teaching things. And we come from a tradition in which we have linked learning in all sorts of categories of life with learning about the nature and the work of God. I've gone out on this limb before, and I'll say it. Whatever it is that you do in your life, whatever it is that you learn in your life, whatever it is that you teach in your life, I think that has something to do with the holiness of all that is. We want to know, but it's clear that wisdom doesn't just mean knowing. Everyone that I heard today has a pretty bright line that maybe we can't describe very well, but we have that bright line between being smart and being wise. In the Bible, the wise person par excellence is who? Solomon, King Solomon, who was wise for approximately one whole chapter, if you read the story. There's some more story of Solomon going on behind me. King Solomon is wise. Why? Because he asks God to be wise. Solomon becomes king, and he is smart enough to know that he doesn't know everything he needs to know. And so he asks God for wisdom. And God says, smart move. I have sometimes said before, King Solomon made the wrong choice. Everybody knows this, right? You ask for more wishes. But no, he has to be wise. And so God piles in the other wishes too. He's going to be rich and successful and all these sorts of things. But he wanted to be wise to be a good ruler for the people of Israel. He wanted to be wise for something more than himself. Now, he was and he wasn't a good ruler, but that's what he hoped his wisdom would be good for, would be for the people. So maybe wisdom means knowing something for a greater purpose than yourself. So here in this book about knowing, Proverbs, we get introduced to Wisdom, the woman, who comes to teach us about purpose. If you are wondering how our Bible, which loves to tell the story of one God and one God alone, and often likes to use father language about that God, introduced a female character who was in the beginning with all things alongside God, well, you know, welcome to the Bible. It's complicated. There are lots of scholars who have looked at this and wondered if maybe Israel was starting to kind of play around with some neighboring groups, and maybe there was some goddess worship that was creeping into our lives. Or it's never really laid out particularly plain. Here in Proverbs, it works as kind of an allegorical device, because guess what? As much as I would love to say that this is a liberating text for women, Proverbs is really about the training up of young, yes, male scribes. And so wisdom in this allegory is one kind of woman. And then foolishness is this other kind of woman. And you're supposed to chase after the right woman. In case you thought Hollywood was the people who came up with that idea of women as objects that the hero just chases after. No, it's been around for a while. Nonetheless, we get a bonus here. Because wisdom is not just an object. She's a character here. And she shares words with us. There is something about wisdom's speech here that is beautiful, that is poetic, which stirs something in us. Wisdom knows the delight of watching creation spin itself together. Wisdom watched us become ourselves. Wisdom was God's collaborator and encouragement as everything took shape. She was there to delight in God and God in her. This story is a love story between God and wisdom as they made everything that is. There is something about God, we can read, therefore, that wants to be in relationship. However we conceive of God, we almost always find the holy connected. If you are thinking about God, it's probably because you're thinking about how God is connected to you. In the Gospel of John, well, the Word was with and was in and was God in the beginning. And yes, on Trinity Sunday, the Trinity as the Creator and the Son and the Spirit weave their dance together, in which no one is equal to the others, no one is a part of the others, and yet they are all one. And if that makes your head hurt, congratulations, you now have a degree in theology. And then here, present at the beginning, God and wisdom are together in creation. Wisdom delights in creation and its dance and in the whole human race. That may be the best test for wisdom, then. Is it taking part in the dance of creation, in the beauty and wonder of all of its varieties? Does it delight in and bring delight to humanity? Not just to me, but does it delight in all humanity? Like the woman wisdom, we are in relationship with God, but also with creation. And that's part of how we discover exactly who we are. God and wisdom are together at the beginning. Wisdom is also at the crossroads. Wisdom is at the gate of the city, the place where all the people come to meet and make deals. You can learn wisdom through life, as it turns out, just like someone said. That listening to life, listening to creation, is part of how we become wise. The Trappist monk Thomas Merton said, "A tree gives glory to God by being a tree." This particular tree will give glory to God by spreading out its roots in the earth and raising its branches into the air and the light in a way no other tree before or after it ever did or will do. He said, "For me to be a saint means for me to be myself. Therefore, the problem of sanctity and salvation is, in fact, the problem of finding out who I am and of discovering my true self." He said, "Our vocation is not simply to be, but to work together with God in the creation of our own life, our own identity, and our own destiny." And I think that our life, our identity, our destiny, is larger than just me. It's all of us. Wisdom is to find the shape and the calling of our life, which gives us joy and life, but not only to us, but to creation and the other as well. It's a dance. It's a relationship. I think far too often it is easy for us to look for the smart answer, a smart solution for ourselves, and not take into full account the heart and spark of others. I don't know about you, but some days I need that reminder of what true wisdom is. We need wisdom in these days. We need the dance and relationship of the holy in these days. We need to delight in the wholeness of humanity, because there are too many examples of thinking that excludes and divides. This week, which was Pride Weekend in Portland, we give thanks for all the multiplicity of ways in which our lives unfold and the ways in which we love and connect to one another. And so I give thanks for those who went to march yesterday and learned the wisdom at the crossroads, the wisdom in each life there. This week, our community and others heard the news from our neighboring city of Portland of more than 250 asylum seekers that will be coming to seek safety and shelter there. And what gives me hope of the wisdom of our communities and our churches, people have been rushing to both, and this is important, ask and hence to learn what is needed, and then to offer what is needed. So our own Dottie Blanchette has been gathering information about how we can best be a supportive neighbor in these times. And so we're glad to share that with you today. There is a little handout as you go down the stairs if you'd like to learn more, where you might direct donations, where you might direct your resources, where you might direct your French skills or Portuguese skills that you might be carrying in your back pocket. We have seen recently that our work to welcome and reunite and restore families who are fleeing from danger and violence is not only good service to them, not only good service to those who Jesus reminded us, regardless of zip code, are our neighbors. It is indeed how our community is refreshed and renewed. It's part of how we become more wise. This week, with 12 other folks from Maine, I will be traveling to Milwaukee for the General Synod of the United Church of Christ. Every 2 years, the whole church gathers from across the country, and we get the electronic clicking devices so you can vote. If you've lived this life, you know how it goes. It's not just pushing a button. It's listening to each other's lives and experiences across the church, across human experience. Every 2 years, I end up on a committee that I'm pretty sure, like, why do we need to even debate this? There's nothing to debate here. This is easy. And every year, I learn how incredibly complex life is. Through a movement of the Spirit that can only be the Holy Spirit, the resolution that I've been assigned to this year is addressing the state of global forced migration. In this time, in this community, what shall we do to make sure that our discourse is wise and therefore that we remove the bigotry and xenophobia that can too easily creep in as we welcome new members of our community? In this time and in this place, how do we make there be policies and resources available so that families may be welcomed and brought into our communities, and that we might learn from them as they share their lives with us? In this time and in this place, though, also, how will we be a part of advocating for foreign policy changes that might actually reduce some of the violence, some of the terror, some of the fear that has driven so many from their homes? So So I will ask you to pray for us as we travel to Milwaukee and as we spend time together. Pray for us as the church. Pray for wisdom. And I will continue to pray for you. And I will pray for our church. And I will pray that we continue to look for how God has called us into holy relationship to become more wise. Has called us into relationship three in one and one to one and the holy many to one. Discovering the wisdom that has been with us before the time of time itself. In love with God and with all creation. Amen.